Whether you're making the same breakfast that you have every day or baking a cake for an extra special day, eggs are a staple in our diets. Eggland's Best eggs are nutritionally superior to ordinary eggs, containing more vitamins and 25% less saturated fat. Not only are they better for you, but Eggland's Best eggs taste better too. There's a reason that they're America's number one eggs. Visit egglandsbest.com for additional information and delicious recipes.
Hi, I'm Ariana Maddox. Whether I'm on TV or Broadway, I live by two rules. Follow your dreams and always wear great shoes. That's why I love DSW. Must-have shoes that pair well with whatever you've dreamed up for your life. Seriously, DSW has all the shoes you need for everything, from errand days to date nights. And they're from top brands at prices you can totally brag to all your friends about. That's why I've partnered with DSW to create a collection of shoes I know you'll love. Because, let's be real, whether I'm dancing on TV, teaching you how to make the perfect cocktail in my best-selling book, or starting a whole new venture, it's all about the shoes. Find the shoes to do all the amazing things you do in my new collection at your DSW store or DSW.com.
I'd see him sitting on that couch all day long, just staring at that Hollywood hogwash.
Our favorite show was Hollywood Hogwash.
Welcome to another episode of Hollywood Hogwash. I'm Andrew Pisano, along with my brother Joe Pisano and Aaron Rosa. We decided to do something different this week.
Yeah.
Instead of just review a movie like we usually do, we decided to review the 96th Academy Awards. We knew it would be easy to make fun of. It certainly was.
What a fucking train wreck.
Lots of bad comedy from Jimmy Kimmel.
You know, I don't see why they keep throwing this guy up there. He's not good at it at all.
His fourth time.
He's not good at it. I guess he's safe and...
He's safe. That's
you know,
why.
He's just a guy and, you know, I guess in Hollywood they want kind of like a liberal Superman and that's what he is.
This was really... So I'm a guy that used to watch, you know, the Billy Crystal Oscars when he would host them. That's
right.
That's what I'm used to, you know, a fun time.
This is the first time I've watched the Oscars live in maybe 6-7 years.
Same, yes.
Because it's not good anymore.
Because I assumed it was just dog shit, and just seeing this so confirmed it.
Yeah.
Holy shit. Will Smith brought the Oscars back a couple years ago, and he bitch-slapped Chris Rock.
Sure.
That was certainly a great moment. Unfortunately, no one got slapped or anything like that. But we got dressed up for it. If you're watching us, we put our suit jackets.
Yes.
You know, and that's pretty much it. We're all just wearing shorts underneath this table with socks.
That's why we have no Josh. He does not own a jacket.
Oh, no. Definitely.
There is zero chance.
Josh would just be in a wife beater if he were here.
Yes.
Like usual. But yeah, this... Surprisingly, this might have been like the least political Oscars in recent history.
Surprising.
There wasn't really that much at all.
No.
You know, so yeah, we're going to review it in full later on the show. But first, we have to thank a few new patrons, actually 5 new patrons this week. So thank you to Joey Poof.
Love it.
James Griffith, Jake Davidson, Chandler Black, and Nacho Man Randy Sandwich.
Nacho Man.
Love it.
Randy Sandwich, that is. Yeah. Mm. So thank you to those 5 patrons. Go to patreon.com/Hollywood Hogwash. Invincible Season 2, Part 2 is actually coming out this week. So we're going to be going back to Invincible.
So excited.
Going through the last 4 episodes. We just released 2 brackets. What the hell were they?
We had
Funniest actor.
Funniest actor bracket, which was certainly controversial.
Look, boys, I listened to the funniest actor of all time
bracket. Spoilers.
No spoilers. All I'm going to say is mistakes were made.
Thank you.
Y'all fucked up.
Don't say y'all.
Well, you know, you can't.
I was the third man out on
you know,
one of those.
You can't complain if you didn't vote. So.
Hey.
You didn't. God, I wish you were
not
there,
in
Aaron.
I was not in state.
You
I
did
wish
not.
This
you,
was done.
I wish you were there to represent the 40-plus crowd.
Oh, dude. That bracket would have gone so differently if I was there.
Thank you.
You know, it is what it is. Go to patreon.com/Hollywood Hogwash. Go check it out. We also have a best TV intro bracket. We did a bracket, too, like a couple weeks before that. But I'm not remembering it at the moment.
It's well, pretty, you're getting older.
It's the best action guess that hero, right?
Yeah, that's right. Best action hero bracket.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. So there's that as well. We also did best TV intro of all time. That was a lot of fun. Hottest 90s crush.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of great brackets, and we've reviewed a ton of shows on there, so go check it out. Again, patreon.com/HollywoodHogwash. All right. Before we get to Hollywood's biggest night, let's go over the news and rumors, a.k.a. the Hollywood Hogwash. So Nintendo announced that the sequel to the Super Mario Brothers movie will arrive on April 3rd, 2026.
Two years.
Wow.
So you're going to have to wait a couple years. But, you know, we talked about it when we first saw the movie. Like, we figure, like, the villains have to be Wario and Waluigi.
Sure.
I mean, they weren't in the first one. I think, you know, they must have saved them for a reason, right? They have to be the villains.
They've got to be in this.
It would be disappointing if they weren't. It'll be interesting to see who they cast as Wario and Waluigi.
Sure.
I feel like they'll get some names because it did so well. It made so much money.
Right.
They should be able to get some names to play
these. Oh, of course. Oh, there were big names in the first one, yeah.
And the directors are returning, too. So I've got hope for this.
The first one was great.
Yeah, they did great fan service there.
Maybe, yep. Like, Will Ferrell can play Waluigi or something.
Oh, my God.
And then Wario is John C. Reilly.
You asshole, don't tease me.
That would be great.
That would be amazing.
Yeah. So yeah, we'll look forward to that in a couple of years. Also, Zack Snyder. Mm-hmm. Everyone knows how I feel about this guy.
Oh, boy.
I mean, a couple of his movies I love. I love Dawn of the Dead, written by James Gunn, so maybe that's why it was good. I also love his Watchmen movie. But everyone knows, at least, you know, every one of our fans knows how I feel about Batman v Superman. Talk shit. But anyways, he was recently a guest on Joe Rogan's podcast where he talked about his controversial take on Batman. And Zach said, people are always like, Batman can't kill. So Batman can't kill is canon. And I'm like, okay, well, the first thing I want to do when you say that is, I want to see what happens. And they go, well, just, you know, don't put him in a situation where he has to kill someone. I'm like, well, that's just like you're protecting your God in a weird way, right? You're making your God irrelevant.
Dude.
So obviously he got a lot of people upset by this statement.
Sure.
This makes it really hard to defend him. Like, I like Zack Snyder. I like a lot of his movies. I enjoyed some of his DC movies a lot. But saying shit like that makes it really hard to defend him. That's a really dumb thing to say.
Here's the thing. In my opinion, I think you can have Batman kill someone in a movie. When I was watching the Daredevil series on Netflix, and I wasn't a big Daredevil fan. I didn't really know anything about him. I didn't know he had a no-kill rule like Batman. But
well,
like,
doesn't every hero, unless you're an anti-hero?
Not everyone, but yeah.
Most of
a lot of them do.
Wolverine or Punisher, basically.
Yeah, right. I mean, Spider-Man's killed people. Superman certainly has. But like, I think when I was watching the Daredevil series, again, he has the no-kill rule. And he in the series, you know, he beats some guys pretty bad. And I was like, wouldn't it be interesting if he accidentally killed a bad guy? Mm, like, just punched him too hard and too many times. And then, like, you know, that season is him, like, dealing with it. Like, holy shit, I killed someone. I said I never would. Like, I think you could do that in a Batman movie. Yeah. I think you could have Batman accidentally beat a criminal too badly, and then you see him go through it. The problem is, in Batman v Superman, Batman just kills everyone without reason. You don't know why he just likes to kill everyone now. He just kills everyone.
When he puts the guy's head through a floor, he killed him?
I mean, you could argue that point, but when he just shows up in the Batmobile and just goes and just kills, like, 10 bad guys who, you know, probably just were doing this because they had no other options or just trying to feed their family. But yeah, like, you just kill without reason. Like, there has to be a really, really good reason. He also talked about there's one of the Frank Miller comics, the Dark Knight Returns, which I haven't read. I just know a little bit about it, where he tells there's one guy, like, had a gun to, I think, Robin. A child's head.
Oh, okay.
And Batman shot the guy. And Zack Snyder said he shot him in the head. Turns out that was false. Batman didn't shoot the guy in the head. Apparently he didn't kill them either. But like, yeah, wow. It's an interesting point that you could do in a movie, and you can have Batman kill someone if it's an accident or if it's literally he has no other choice. In The Dark Knight, Harvey Dent was going to shoot Gordon's son in the fucking head. So what did Batman do? He tackled him, and by doing that, he pushed Harvey Dent off the fucking cliff, and he fell to his death.
Here's the easy conversation to have with Zack Snyder. Okay, you want to explore this. You want to see Batman kill. Okay, make an Elseworlds movie. Anything you want and just call it Batman Elseworlds.
But just give a reason why the guy that his whole thing is I don't kill. Give a reason why he had to kill. In The Killing Joke, the comic, the one of the most famous Batman comics ever, the very end, he kills Joker because he's finally had enough of his bullshit. Right. And it's fucking brilliant. And no one cares that Batman killed Joker because it was that good.
Yeah.
That's the point, Zach. You have to make it mean something.
I have one rule.
But he's like a fucking AEW wrestler. I'm just going to do 30 flips and kick out of 50 finishers for no reason.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. No. There has to be a story, buddy. Yeah. And you told a shit one in Batman v Superman.
So. Even in Superman, like when he finally kills Zod in Man of Steel. It's like, hey, bro, if you're going to do that just to protect one family, why didn't you do that like as soon as you saw him?
You know, before that he killed 100,000
people. 100,000
people
died, right. But this family, no, I can't allow it.
Yeah. And then Bruce, I got to kill this guy unless he has the same name as my mom.
Let's see. You know,
and we'll see. But again, one of the worst things ever. Why did you say that name? I mean, dear God, Zach. All right, moving on. Finally got off that off my chest. Madam Web star Dakota Johnson is now publicly blasting the movie, I guess, since everyone else has.
Jump in.
And yeah, she said, not? I probably will never do anything like that again. She also said something about, like, I don't understand, you know, like, I don't understand the comic book fandom and everything. But I think the thing she has to realize, maybe no one told her, is there is no comic book fandom for Madam Web. That was the problem from the beginning.
Right.
No one cares about Madam Web. No one. I've never heard anyone say, hey, you know, Madam Web's my favorite, or just anything. Never.
Some industry people have come out and basically commented on how she's been handling this and have said, look, you know, movies bomb, that happens, but the way she's handling this movie tanking is going to haunt her.
It's not good.
Oh, for sure.
It's
you can't do this. Good. Look what happened to Katherine Heigl.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
You know, she like shit all over, knocked up.
Yes.
And then she did this movie, The Ugly Truth, which was like this horrible romantic comedy.
Yeah.
It's so great. It was so funny when she shit on Knocked Up and then Seth Rogen like just made fun of her for being in The Ugly Truth, where he was like, I think she has like, in that movie, she has underwear that gives her an orgasm. Like, you know, like, so. Yeah, you can't do that.
But Knocked Up was good.
Of course it was.
Yes.
And it wasn't like it was acclaimed. It wasn't like shit on like Madam Web.
No,
it was objectively amazing.
Right, yeah. So last thing I have as far as news goes is Sony is re-releasing all 8 live action Spider-Man films in theaters for a week. This is for the 100 years of Columbia Pictures.
Oh, God.
So we're going to go see Spider-Man 2 in theaters again, yes?
That'll be April 22nd, yes.
Oh,
I am absolutely going to see that.
Guaranteed.
I talked about how last year I saw The Dark Knight Rises in theaters for the first time in, you know, fucking forever. So this will be 24 years since Spider-Man... No, I'm sorry, 20 years since Spider-Man 2 came out.
Jesus.
So I will be seeing that in theaters, yeah. That'll be great.
Nice.
So I'm excited about that. What else you got?
I just had a few things. Peacemaker season 2 begins filming this summer.
Yes.
Interesting. So James Gunn says season 1 is not canon to the DCU.
Oh.
Season 2 is going to take place after the events of the upcoming Superman movie.
Gotcha.
I'm really struggling to understand how this is not going to turn into a mess.
Well, you got
to
see Superman. You got to give him a chance. You got to see Superman.
Okay. All right.
You know,
I don't
going to reverse the earth and then it'll be fine.
I don't think it's going to be like that. I just think they're saying there's things that in season 1 of Peacemaker we don't want to have to worry about.
Yeah.
But like obviously season 2 of Peacemaker is going to be season 2, right? Things that happen in season 1, we'll see the ramifications of season 2. I just think he's trying to say I don't want to be responsible for anything storyline that happened in season one. Yeah. Like when Aquaman and the Flash and who else? Cyborg. Well, I mean,
Batman and Superman, you just didn't see that. Their silhouettes were there.
Yeah, you didn't see their faces.
They all show up at the end.
Yeah, I'm not doubting season two is going to be great. I just... Yeah. I'm concerned.
You could just assume that the end of Flash changed everything, because it did.
Kind
of
did.
George Clooney's now the Batman of...
As of right now.
Yes.
As of right now, George Clooney is Batman.
As of right now.
In the DCU, yeah. It's interesting.
Okay, next. Karen Gillan, who played... she was in the Guardians movies as Nebula. She says she's interested in playing Poison Ivy in the James Gunn DCU. Oh,
that'd be cool.
Sure.
She also says she wants to portray the relationship between Poison Ivy and Harley Quinn.
Oh,
live action.
Oh, yeah.
And I think I... yeah.
Can that be rated X?
I think
rated X.
I think I speak for the podcast when I say we would love to see that.
We would love to see Margot Robbie and Karen Gillan, Scissor.
We support you, that'd Karen Gillan. In this.
Absolutely.
They're working on a movie called SNL 1975.
Okay.
This is directed by Ivan Reitman's kid, Jason.
Oh, wow.
And apparently it's going to be kind of a behind-the-scenes thing about the very first SNL episode.
That's cool.
So you're going to...
I like that.
The cast doesn't really have a bunch of names, but they're going to have, you know...
And it's a movie?
People, yeah, it's going to be a movie. They're Aykroyd, Murray, you know, all those guys.
Chevy Chase. So, oh, that'd be great. Because didn't Chevy Chase and Bill Murray like get into a fist fight at some point?
Well, I think, because Chase left and then Murray replaced him, I think, later. But
Chase was in season one. Murray then came in to kind of replace him in season two.
Right.
But then Chase would come back and do spots, as everybody does. And I think even hosted a few times, right?
Yes.
And then, Murray
But they
was
ended
like,
up getting into a fight, right?
They
something
did.
Like
happened.
Some sort of scuffle,
I don't know the
or,
details,
you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
but
they did.
I love those type of, because it's going to be a real movie, not a documentary. Like, obviously, like, casting it, right?
Right, yes.
Have you guys ever seen Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip?
No, I know what it is.
I highly recommend it.
I know of it.
It's basically a season of SNL.
It's 30 Rock, but a drama version, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's so good. It's comedy.
It was only
drama.
One season, right?
Only one season.
Yeah, because it wasn't popular when it came out.
Right, right. But it's, I mean, Aaron Sorkin is the writer of it.
Yeah, sure.
He's great in that.
Right.
And then you've got Matthew Perry, Amanda Peet, Bradley Whitford, Stephen Weber, D.L. Hughley, Sarah Paulson, just like just great names.
Yeah.
So anyway, highly recommend it, but it's kind of like that.
Yeah. And I like Jason Reitman, you know, he makes good movies, so
he is good.
That should be cool. What else?
Just a couple other quick things. Also Spider-Man news. There's been rumblings about Spider-Man 4. Is it going to happen? Thomas Hayden Church said something. Raimi's now weighed in, and he said there's a chance it could happen. So the fact that they're not...
Oh, like Raimi Spider-Man 4.
Like Toby.
Yes, a Raimi Toby Spider-Man 4. So the fact that we're actually getting responses from Raimi instead of just dismissing it.
Yeah, that's cool.
Sure.
That's...
Let's just hope they be like, all right, you could do it, but... it's not going to be, you know, John Malkovich as Vulture, and then Felicia is not going to be just like this Vulture-ess. Like, that was what it was going to be. He was going to make Felicia like Black Cat. He was going to just turn her into Vulture's daughter.
Right.
And then it was going to be another love triangle. Like, enough of that already.
Right.
Enough.
Yeah.
Okay, and last fun little thing I had. Highest earning actors in terms of salary for 2023. I want to see if you guys can guess this.
Ooh.
So there's a top 10. I'm not going to go through all of them.
Okay.
But
who's number one?
I'm going to see if you can get number one. Okay, so I'm going to count down
up to 2024?
Yeah.
Of 2023.
Oh, okay. Right.
So I'll get
you're going to give us the two through five?
I'm going to get you the ones leading up to it.
Okay,
all right. And see if you can get one.
Okay.
Five. Ryan Gosling, $43 million.
Yeah.
Number four, Matt Damon, $43 million.
Matt Damon.
Number three, Tom Cruise, $45 million.
That was my guess.
Number two, Margot Robbie, $59 million.
Oh, wow.
Who's number one?
It's probably still The Rock, right?
No, I don't. Oh, God. The look on his face. It's got to be.
Did I get it?
Did not.
Oh, okay.
Oh. So you got to think of movies, like who put out two movies last year? You know what I mean? Where like it would be
two big, like probably two, shitty movies.
Well, they don't have to be shitty. it could be like I don't think Scorsese pays a fuck ton.
Did Harrison Ford get a fuck ton for Indiana Jones?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
He's not on the list. He's not in the top 10.
I'm just not thinking of like different. Oh, what about Keanu?
Not correct.
No, John Wick 4 and yeah.
Not
Robert
correct.
Downey?
Not correct.
This is hard.
Oh, Margot Robbie?
She's no, two.
She was number two.
Oh, I'm
at 59.
Yeah,
million.
Sorry.
Derp. I got nothing.
God, what else came out? Chris Pratt?
No.
I don't know.
Was it Fast X last year?
Jason Momoa?
No.
Oh, for Aquaman? No.
I don't know.
Number one is Adam Sandler with $73 million.
That's crazy. That's
for his Netflix bullshit.
Can you believe that?
Wow. He's like,
fucking believe
he
that.
Probably made like five Netflix movies last year that all sucked.
Yeah.
Wild. He's worth so much fucking money now. Oh, I think he's like almost like half a billion.
Yeah.
Sure.
And like most of that fortune is by making shitty Netflix movies. It's like, oh, $2 million for Waterboy. $40 million for this shitty Netflix movie that no one saw that they made in 2 weeks. It's like we wrote it, we filmed it, and released it in 2 weeks. Like a 90-minute shitty
That's
movie.
That's so funny. Trending celebrities, the number one name on celebrity net worth was Adam Sandler. $440 million.
Man, that's crazy.
Holy shit.
That's
Rob Schneider, $8 million.
And again, didn't even have a movie in theaters, Adam Sandler. Yeah. It's all Netflix.
Jesus.
Wow.
That's crazy.
It's rough. That's rough.
Yeah.
Here's to the best spring ever in this season's must-have shoes. Find all the styles you need from brands you love at amazing prices right now at DSW. Update your closet with colorful sandals made for sunny days, fresh sneakers perfect for spring looks, and sporty soles ready for new adventures. Whatever you're up to this spring, DSW has the exact right pair for the occasion. Shop must-have spring shoes at your DSW store and DSW.com.
Whether you're making the same breakfast that you have every day or baking a cake for an extra special day, eggs are a staple in our diets. Eggland's Best eggs are nutritionally superior to ordinary eggs, containing more vitamins and 25% less saturated fat. Not only are they better for you, but Eggland's Best eggs taste better too. There's a reason that they're America's number one eggs. Visit egglandsbest.com for additional information and delicious recipes.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah. All right, well, I guess we can move on to the Oscars now, right? It's Hollywood's biggest night, guys. Come on. We dressed up for a reason. So,
yeah.
The show opens, and, you know, like you mentioned earlier, Billy Crystal.
Oscars, who will win?
Yeah, Billy Crystal used to do those, you know, great opens where he's in the movies that were nominated.
So good.
So classic.
So we start with Jimmy Kimmel. And he's in the Barbie movie. It's the scene in Barbie where she cries. Wait, sorry. It's the 10th scene in the movie where Barbie's crying.
Yes.
And she's sitting on a bench and Jimmy Kimmel is sitting next to her. And it's like, all right, let's see what they do with this, you know? And Barbie looks at Jimmy and she says, you're so beautiful. And he says, I know, I haven't eaten in 3 weeks, but I got to go host the Oscars. And he walks off and then... We're like, all right, well, that's an okay start, I guess. But where's he going next? Is he going to build the bomb? Is he going to blow up in the bomb in Oppenheimer or the bomb? And that's it.
Nope, that's it.
Jimmy Kimmel walks out on to the stage.
It was like 15 seconds.
That's the big open. Great edited, big musical number open.
This might have been a little before you, Andrew, but Joe, do you remember when Billy Crystal got rolled out on the stretcher thing with a Hannibal Lecter mask. Oh,
yes,
my God.
Of course.
Or when he came out in the horse for City Slickers.
Yes. Yeah. And now this is how you open the Oscars.
Remember when Conan O'Brien hosted the Emmys and he kept falling into the different shows?
Yes.
Like he literally fell into the office through the ceiling.
God. It was so
great. And then he ended up in 24. He was on, well, first it was Lost.
Yeah, and he took off his shirt and he had a six pack.
Yeah. Oh, like that was so good. And then this is all you do?
He's like, aren't you coming? It was the fat guy from Lost.
Yeah.
And he goes, we weren't invited. But you guys won last year. Nothing makes sense anymore.
Pam is very attractive. Honestly, I could see us having 2 to 3 years of sexual tension that ultimately goes nowhere. It's so good. And like, Jimmy Kimmel used to be like the king of these like sketches on his late night show.
Oh my
you know,
God.
I'm fucking Ben At- or I'm fucking Matt Damon, then I'm fucking Ben At. Like he was the king of this, and just what happened? I guess he eventually was, everyone becomes,
the Handsome Man's Club with all the celebrities.
Right,
it's one of my favorite skits ever.
It's great.
It's so good.
I guess at some point everyone just loses their funny. I don't know.
They all lose their fastball. It's sad.
Yeah. So. He says, this night has so much potential, but so did Madame Web, which is, you know, it's funny, but I mean, to be honest, Madame Web probably never had any potential.
No.
I mean, really, everyone knew
and
that movie was
like
going to suck.
Almost like beating a dead horse, but I guess it's still relevant.
They
bag on Madame Web, like, multiple times during this show.
Oh, my God, so many times. So then Kimmel brings up the Barbie director. Oh, she got snubbed for best director. Oh, what a shame that is. Oh, that's too bad. Ah, oh, shucks. She should have won. She should have won.
She should have won.
Bullshit. So then Kimmel says, Christopher Nolan doesn't have a cell phone and he writes his scripts on his laptop that doesn't have internet so that his porn addiction doesn't affect his work. Huh? Huh?
Literally, no one laughed at that. Even Nolan was like,
yeah. Right. There's so many of those.
This is such a weird way to open a show. It's just 10 to 15 minutes of super awkward
of like bombing. Super, he's bombing so hard.
Super awkward banter of him like talking to actors out in the audience.
Yeah. And he's not even so weird. It's kind of like a soft roast because it's not real.
Right.
It's like going, you know, Andrew, you wear women's dresses.
It's
not funny. Say something about a podcast and make it relatable. But like you don't say like something that no one even knows about or it's just not true.
Right.
That's not a roast. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you can't go from Rick, not that he hosted the Oscars, but you can't go from Ricky Gervais to like, you know, soft ass Jimmy Kimmel.
This is why no one watches the show anymore. Literally.
You can't take a chance on a joke.
Just go on TikTok or Instagram and see who wins the next day. That's all you got to do.
That and he kept taking the edge off everything he said. Like if he said something even remotely funny to dig or bag on somebody.
The delivery.
He would follow it up with like, but you did great work and you donated money to charity. It's like, you just killed the funny of that.
Robert Downey Jr., tonight could be your highest, one of your highest moments. Then the worst line maybe of the night. Is that an acceptance speech in your pocket or do you have a rectangular penis?
Yes.
So listen to this.
It's so bad.
You guys want to hear the ratings for the Oscars over the last 20 years?
Please.
Okay.
So it was like 46, 42, 41. It had a down year, 33. And then just 40s. 35 to 43, solid.
Right.
Up until 2014. Then it starts, I think Kimmel first appeared, and it was like, okay, 34, 32, 26, 2019, 29, 2020, 23 million, 2021, I get it. It was the year after.
Yeah.
It was kind of a weird show, 10 million. But even the last 2 years, 16, 18, not even half of what it averaged for 20 years.
How are you bringing this guy back if those are your numbers?
Yeah, I know.
Another host that was good was Seth MacFarlane. I liked his... I liked when he hosted.
Sure.
Yeah. That was great. It was like a Family Guy episode.
I mean, I get they're trying to be safe, but if you know you're tanking, do something.
Is that an acceptance speech or do you have a rectangular penis?
I don't know.
I,
it's like, wow. I just imagine Billy Crystal standing up there and that joke comes up on the teleprompter and he just goes, no.
No,
and he
just, absolutely
and
not.
He just moves on.
Yeah.
You know what? Jimmy Kimmel is now tied for fourth with four times as the fourth most times hosted.
Wow.
This is, I don't know, Aaron might get this. Who's hosted the most? It's by far.
Billy Crystal, right?
No.
No?
It's not.
He hosted nine times. He's second. This person has more than double that.
Nine times?
This was like, you know.
A long time
ago. This is like 40s and 50s.
Way
and 60s
before
probably.
Our time.
Yeah. Charlie Chaplin.
I mean, Jesus, who was like the big comic in like the 50s and 60s? He always went to the troops.
Oh, like Dean Martin or something?
No.
Bob Hope?
Bob Hope.
Oh, yeah.
19 times.
So who's second and third?
No, Billy Crystal's nine. He's second. Yeah. And then Johnny Carson is a third with five.
Yeah.
And then Jack Lemmon, Whoopi Goldberg, and Kimmel have four.
And who's after them?
Jerry Lewis.
Okay.
Hello, lady.
Yeah. Hello. Flavin.
To Flavin. And that's all I have from
Flavin.
Because a lot of people, David Niven did
it's
three.
It's so funny because
Steve Martin was good. He did three.
Like I watched
he
this.
Was,
I,
yeah.
Like watching this, when I first started watching The Simpsons and Professor Frink's one of my favorite side characters and at the time, I didn't know that that was just Jerry Lewis from Nutty Professor.
Yeah.
But that's just it. Like, it's so great.
Yeah.
So then he says, oh, Killers of the Flower Moon was so long, I had to mail, I had my mail forwarded to the theater because it's another 3.5 hour Scorsese movie, just like The Irishman.
Zing.
And then he says, Robert De Niro and Jodie Foster were nominated for Taxi Driver in 1976, and they're both nominated tonight. But back then, Jodie was too young to be his daughter. Was young enough to be his daughter, and now she's 20 years too old to be his girlfriend.
And again, like as a Leo joke, that's funny. Although people have done it way too many times.
Yeah, right. Leonardo DiCaprio makes sense.
Someone made that joke once. It might have been Kimmel, where he's like, "Leo's last movie was so long that by the end of the movie, his date was too old for him."
Too old for right. Yeah.
But yeah, De Niro's not known for super young girls like Nicholson. Leo, like there's plenty of actors you could have done that joke about.
Then he mentioned this international film and he's like, hey, look, it's Sandra Hüller.
Who are you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She was in two of these international films.
Right. Then they showed The Rock in the crowd. And that's where I was like, oh my God, please rush the stage. Cut a promo on Cody Rhodes. Or at least like knock out Jimmy Kimmel or something.
Oh,
like punch him out and be like, I'll host for the rest of the night. You know, you Hollywood pieces of trash.
Wasn't Will Smith banned from the Oscars?
For like 10 years or something? Yeah.
So I don't know how they haven't redone. Like, yeah, you're right. Like, how did they not? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like he says something about Rock and then he comes up and slaps him. And The Rock grabs the mic and goes, I wonder if Will Smith would have slapped if instead of Chris Rock, it's The Rock.
Right.
That's it. They make a joke about it. Will Smith.
Because everyone even made that joke 2 years ago. Like, what if it was The Rock up there? Will Smith would have like kept his ass seated.
Chris
not Rock, even said anything.
Right. Chris Rock is just reading a fucking teleprompter that someone else wrote for him.
Right.
And he gets smacked. So stupid.
G.I. Jane. Can't wait to see it. Bam. Like, what? Fucking nut job. Jimmy Kimmel then says, thanks to the new, you know, actors deal, AI won't take over our jobs. Could AI, you know, like, could AI have written Transformers Rise of the Beasts? Oh, yeah, the answer is yes. And that was actually funny.
That was good.
Then Kimmel brings the Oscars crew to the stage to thank them, even though, you know, it's like, all right, thank you, guys. You're not getting any awards, but thank you. All right, bye.
Brings, like, 18 token guys out of the thousands. Yeah.
Then they started to play music, like, to tell Kimmel, I guess, to wrap
it up. Yeah, they were playing him off.
Should have played it, like, 10 minutes before that, but yeah.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Like, this is going nowhere. Let's go wrap it up.
So then we have five previous Best Supporting Actress winners come out to present the Best Supporting Actress Award, and each actress talks about the role of one of the nominees, and we're like, show a fucking clip of the movie. Isn't that, like, really, at the end of the day, this really the point of this award show is to be like, hey, dummies, these are the best movies. These are the best actresses. Here's why you should watch them.
Here's a clip.
Because I don't think I think Emily Blunt was the only one where I saw that movie. I didn't know about any of these movies. Didn't know anything about them.
I'll give them this because they did this for all of the four supporting and main actor and actress. I'll give them this. It was kind of cool seeing former winners come out and talk to the nominees, that was kind of cool, but not at the expense of seeing a clip
from the
movie.
Yeah, you should just do both.
Yes.
Yeah. Just do both. Yes. If you want to do this, that's fine. You know, cut the songs in half or cut best
save
animated
time.
Short. Who cares? You know, like.
Yeah, save time elsewhere, but right. Give us the clip also.
Give us the fucking clip.
And it's a 10-second clip usually.
Yeah.
Maybe 12.
Just of them acting their ass off. And then you're like, oh shit, maybe I should see this movie. This looks great, you know?
Yeah.
So the Oscar goes to Devin Joy Randolph.
Who are you?
I don't know.
Yep.
Her dress was like a giant pinata. At the time, it was the worst dress of the night, but we'll get to the actual worst dress later.
All like giant pinatas.
Yeah.
A lot of them. That was the theme. Big.
And she was from the movie Holdovers. They showed a trailer because it's also nominated for Best Picture, and they, like, every commercial break, they'd come back and they would show a trailer for one of the 10 nominees, and they showed the trailer for her movie, The Holdovers, and she has one line.
In the trailer,
In the trailer.
Yeah.
Right.
So how much of the movie was she actually in? I don't know. And then Jimmy Kimmel says, oh, and to Baba Booey to you, and no one understood the reference.
Yeah, apparently he always goes on Howard because they're good friends, like the week that he hosts something big, and he goes, hey, I got the Baba Booey in.
Well, he's one of the biggest Howard Stern lovers there is, and he's kind of like part of the reason why and how Howard Stern like went full PC, because Jimmy went full PC, and he's like, hey, if you just go PC, you'll get invited to all the big parties. And right. Howard Stern was like, oh, cool, yeah, I'll just abandon everything.
So Kimmel's who we have to blame for this.
Partially, I would
say,
Jimmy. Yeah. But like this, the reference, like Baba Booey, like this, it didn't even work here.
Yeah, it was weird.
Then Chris Hemsworth and Anna Taylor-Joy or Anya Taylor, I don't know. I guess she just wants her name to sound cooler than it is. It's like, oh, my name's Andrew.
Yes. Strangest looking woman.
Brian Regan.
Anya. There's no I there. It doesn't matter.
Brian Regan had that joke where he's like, hey, Carolyn. It's Caroline.
Yeah.
It's Caroline, Brian.
Brett.
It's Brian.
It's Brian.
Brett Favre.
Brett Favre. Yeah.
Favre. Right.
So they present Anna Best Animated Short, and War Is Over wins, which was inspired by a song by John Lennon and Yoko Ono, so whatever. Then they talk for too long.
Whatever.
They win, they talk for a long time. Like, you want an animated short. Like, you shouldn't get that much. You should get shorter time.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, it took less time to make.
30 seconds.
I don't get with these shows. How do they allow it? I don't care if it's best director, best actor. How do any of these speeches go longer than 15 to 20 seconds?
Oh, it is Anya Taylor-Joy.
It is okay. Anya. Yeah, I didn't know either.
She probably changed it just for that. Did she? So then they present Best Animated Feature, and they show, like, four movies no one's ever heard of, no one's ever seen, and then they show Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, and we're like, okay, well, there you go. This will be great.
Because
obviously, this is the only winner. It's the only thing that can win.
Clear winner here.
And you know what won? I don't remember who.
Just bottom right.
Some movie that no one ever heard of.
Here's the messed up part.
Over Spider-Verse.
They never get it right.
Never.
Like you could have given an Oscar to Infinity War or Endgame as Best Picture because it's literally that good.
Yeah.
But they don't do it, right? Now, they got Heath Ledger right, but I think he had to die.
It's only because he died.
To get that right.
Yeah,
but
for sure.
It was the best performance of the fucking year.
Yes.
So I'm glad he got the Oscar. They don't. I feel like when it's real, like Into the Spider-Verse as animation, like it's as good as an animation movie can be.
I know, like
the story was great.
Literally, just the animation, it wins.
Yeah, right.
Like they shoot all the other movies, and it's like it's all just like the digital. Like everyone looks, it's all the same shit. Like this looks like they were just hand drawing every single frame of the movie.
But the story was good. The end was good. Like everything about this movie was amazing.
The performances,
amazing. Yeah. And doesn't win. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a comic book. You can't win, remember? Do you remember?
Yeah.
Shut up.
So dumb. So that's like the first snub of the night, like first big mistake.
Yeah.
Then we have Octavia Spencer and Melissa McCarthy present Best Original Screenplay. Oh, God.
Probably the most awkward moment of the night.
It was stupid.
So Chippendale bad.
Aaron said it best. It was like a who's on first, but like the worst version of that ever.
Oh, yeah. It was.
Chippendale? Oh, I thought you meant Chippendale. I ain't Chippendale. Chippendale. And everyone that watched it is now dumber for watching it.
And Octavia Spencer, she's a respected actress.
Right.
And Jesus.
Melissa McCarthy, was she saying like Chip and Dale from Disney?
I guess.
Yeah.
Because she was saying like Chip and Dale. So that's like, that's got to be that, I guess.
So they pretend, then they pretend to realize that there's a teleprompter. They're like, oh, look, there's the thing and it has words and we say the word. Oh. And this was us.
And Kimmel's backstage losing his fucking mind laughing. Yeah. He thought it was just fucking great.
So best original screenplay goes to Anatomy of a Fall, whatever that
Who
is.
Who are you?
Yeah. And then we have best adapted screenplay. And Kimmel, maybe this might be the worst line than the rectangular penis. Kimmel says, at what age do you tell your screenplay that it's adapted? Adapted?
Adopted.
Comedy bullshit!
Who's that? What? MJF just comes out, slaps him in the face.
God. He should just get slapped for the comedy.
I'm hosting the show! Like, oh, please. Jesus. So best adapted screenplay doesn't go to Christopher Nolan for Oppenheimer. It goes to American Fiction.
Who are you?
Yeah.
Another movie no one will see or ever will see. Or yeah.
Yep.
No one even saw. They're just like, well, they can't all go to Oppenheimer.
Yeah. Well.
Then we have Billie Eilish and her brother sing their song from Barbie.
Yeah.
I used to be a doll. We ripped off Pinocchio. Whatever, you know. I mean, at the end of the day, that's what it is.
Yeah.
Her feet became flat because she was lying about herself. Something like that.
Whatever.
Why were there two Barbie songs?
Right.
I guess two Barbie songs were nominated?
Yeah.
There must not have been too many songs in movies last year.
That was the Barbie song, right? Yeah.
I think so. Yeah.
She thanked Greta.
Right. Yep. So then we have Michael Keaton and Catherine O'Hara come out to the Beetlejuice theme.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you.
And they present best makeup and hairstyling. And the Oscar goes to Poor Things.
Won a lot.
Yeah.
And I knew nothing about this movie, so I had to Google it.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I didn't realize. I'm going to try to guess what the movie's about just off of the pornographic scenes that I watched of Emma Stone. She's either a prostitute.
Sure.
Uh-huh.
Or just a girl who discovers what an orgasm is and just has to keep getting them.
Gotcha.
In 1800s England?
Is she like Nell that wants to fuck?
Right. Like, yes. Now,
and the best makeup and all these, the best makeup always goes to these old timey movies where women just wear stupid dresses. You made a great stupid dress. Oh, it's just like the dress you're wearing at the Oscars.
This was just that movie this year that cleaned up in the meaningless categories.
Yeah, it sure did.
Then they do production design and Poor Things wins again. Then Kimmel talks about a streaker who ran on the stage many years ago. They play a little clip of it and he goes, oh, could you imagine if a streaker ran onto the stage?
In 2024.
And then I said, could you imagine a streaker? And then John Cena.
Oh my God.
Fucking Cena.
Appears behind a stage piece and appears to be naked.
Yes.
But Cena tells Kimmel he doesn't want to do the bit anymore. But eventually Cena walks out naked with only the envelope covering his dick.
Like, we think, no way they're going to pay this off.
No, right. You don't understand.
He's just going to stay behind the thing.
If you didn't see it, think of where a dick is on a male body.
Especially a John Cena dick.
Just barely cover it.
Yeah.
Just barely cover it. Like, you saw the lines in the V that points to your dick.
Yes. He wasn't wearing flesh-colored underwear because you could see that the sides of him were naked.
Right.
So he must have just had, like, a tube sock on.
Yes.
Unbelievable.
So that was fucking crazy.
Yep.
It was crazy. And then he's like, oh, you know, costumes are important. Maybe the most important thing there is in movies.
Yeah.
And Kimmel puts a robe on Cena. And Poor Things wins best costume design.
Thank
you,
John
Cena. He put a robe
on
Cena.
Huh?
He put a woman's dress on Cena.
Right, yeah.
Like a robey-looking woman's dress.
I thought it was just like one of the like things hanging on the side of the stage or something that he grabbed.
No,
maybe.
I thought it was like a weird woman's dress.
It looked like a toga, kind of.
Kind of a toga dress.
But either way, thank you, Cena, because we were fucking bored leading up to this.
Yeah, so best costume design, Poor Things. The woman walked. Oh, she's like, oh, thank you. It's a movie called Poor Things where everyone's rich. Isn't that brilliant? Isn't that brilliant? Oh.
Brilliant.
And then she got played off, thankfully.
Yeah.
Then they showed The Rock. They kept showing these. Like, when they're going to commercial, they would show the people walking off the stage into the backstage area where the next presenters were waiting. because this was their way to try to get the viewers back.
Yeah.
And they were like mostly very awkward with David Alan Greer being like, hey, when we come back, it's going to be, look, spoiler alert, it's them.
It's them.
It was so awkward.
It's so, not only was it awkward as fuck because it was like all of these famous people going basically to and from the green room, but it was like, it was spoiling all of their appearances. It's like, hey, this guy's about to be on.
Yeah.
Well thanks for.
Like imagine the Royal Rumble. Like a guy gets thrown out and he goes backstage and then like Randy Orton's just like, yeah, I'm next.
Yeah.
No, you had like The Rock and Bad Bunny at one point kind of talking.
Yeah.
And the woman who just won is walking down the hallway to go to her press conference, but The Rock is fucking huge. And she's like, can I? And The Rock's like, we're posing for this in-between shot. Give me a second. And she's like, yeah, but I need to go. What's happening? And it's like that whole thing went down as we're all just fucking watching it. Like, are we supposed to be watching this right now?
It was
horrible.
And then right behind her was Cena and Rock. So we've got moments.
Naked Cena shakes, or in a dress, Cena shakes hands with Rock.
Yes.
Hey, Rock.
And you know, that's going to be a huge thing on Raw.
Oh, my God. For sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
Like, that'll be the biggest thing on the show. And it won't be anything on the show. It's just Michael Cole like, oh, my God, Jesus, Cena and The Rock just took hands. What does this mean for WrestleMania?
Can I just say, reviewing this Oscars, I feel like for the first time, this is what it feels like to do the What's Wrong with Wrestling podcast.
Uh-huh.
Just watching this.
I know, we're reviewing a bad show.
Train wreck thing that you're just shitting on.
Well, now that the Oscars, there's several wrestlers on it, we might as well.
The Oscars, in a way, it's like they're doing like a, you know, it's an award show, like trying to be an award show, but things are fucking up, you know?
That's hilarious. Right.
So The Rock and Bad Bunny present Best International Feature Film. Bad Bunny starts speaking Spanish, and then The Rock, like in a not funny way, like almost, he's like, well said. And like, it wasn't a joke. Like, he wasn't being like, oh, I don't know what he's saying. He was like, well said. Yeah, I understood all of that.
Right.
And then, like, zero interest wins or so. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I have zero interest in Zone of Interest.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Next up, Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt walk out. And Ryan says, you know, we could finally put this Barbenheimer feud behind us. But she says, as far as award season goes, it really wasn't much of a rivalry. And that was actually a good line.
Was this maybe the best onstage chemistry of this whole night, two of them?
At first, but then it got bad. Because then he was like, oh, it's called Barbenheimer because Oppenheimer wrote our coattails. And then she goes, oh, thanks for Ken-splaining that to me.
No.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, let's talk about all the amazing stunt work. We got to talk. And I was like, wait, there's no award for stunt work, right? Did they add an award?
They should.
And then they showed like a 30-second video of all these amazing stunts. They showed John Wick 4. I'm like, oh, well, clearly John Wick 4 wins. And the Oscar goes to no one because it's not an award. But thanks, stunt guys.
Yeah.
Womp, womp.
Like, that should definitely be an award. They're the ones who die making movies.
Yeah.
So many of them have died while making movies.
No kidding.
So then Kimmel says they need to start the show over because some people didn't know it was starting early this year. He says if this were AMC theaters, the movie would just be starting 90 minutes in, which is almost too real. Since now trailers are longer than ever, you're like, it's like 25 minutes now.
A little too real, yeah.
It's crazy.
Hi, I'm Ariana Maddox. Whether I'm on TV or Broadway, I live by two rules. Follow your dreams and always wear great shoes. That's why I love DSW. Must-have shoes that pair well with whatever you've dreamed up for your life. Seriously, DSW has all the shoes you need for everything, from errand days to date nights. And they're from top brands at prices you can totally brag to all your friends about. That's why I've partnered with DSW to create a collection of shoes I know you'll love. Because, let's be real, whether I'm dancing on TV, teaching you how to make the perfect cocktail in my best-selling book, or starting a whole new venture, it's all about the shoes. Find the shoes to do all the amazing things you do in my new collection at your DSW store or DSW.com.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night, and building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Whether you're making the same breakfast that you have every day or baking a cake for an extra special day, eggs are a staple in our diets. Eggland's Best eggs are nutritionally superior to ordinary eggs, containing more vitamins and 25% less saturated fat. Not only are they better for you, but Eggland's Best eggs taste better too. There's a reason that they're America's number one eggs. Visit egglandsbest.com for additional information and delicious recipes.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Then the five previous Best Supporting Actor winners walk out to present the Best Supporting Actor Award. And again, they each take turns talking to a nominee. Sam Rockwell says, there are some actors who don't drop character until the DVD commentary. And that's literally Robert Downey Jr.'s quote in Tropic Thunder when he's like, I don't break character until I do the DVD commentary.
Pretty great.
So they got this one right. The Oscar goes to Robert Downey Jr.
His first win
nice.
For Oppenheimer.
One of the greatest actors on the planet.
Love
finally
it.
Gets an Oscar.
Killed in that movie.
Very deserving.
He gets up there. He says, I'd like to thank my terrible childhood and the Academy in that order. He thanks his wife, Nolan, his cast, his publicist, and his stylist. He says it like that.
Right.
By the way, it was kind of a cool little touch when they did all four of these with the actor and actress where they brought the five out each time.
Yeah.
That the center main one was the winner last year. I thought that was kind of a cool little touch.
Nice.
Right, yeah. So then we have two guys that never have and never will win Oscars or even come close. We have Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito. They walk out together because they both tried to kill Batman. That was funny.
Which was the moment of the night because then it cuts to Keaton and he's just like mean mugging
serious.
In character. Love it.
How did Batman beat you? He used my one weakness against me. Heat? Love.
Yeah.
And then he's like, oh, he threw me out the window, son of a bitch. Oh, look, he's right there. And then, yeah, that's when they show Keaton and he's like proud of it. It's so great. It was probably the best moment of the show.
Thank you, Keith.
It was fucking great.
Yep.
So they present Best Visual Effects, and the Oscar goes to Godzilla Minus One, to no surprise, because Godzilla looked like more real than ever before, and they used like a fucking tenth of the budget that, you know, the new Godzilla movies make. They all walk up to the stage holding Godzilla toys.
I still need to watch that movie and be the tiebreaker, because I know, Andrew, you loved the Godzilla scenes, but hated the rest of it. And I think Joe loved it.
It's a masterpiece.
So I need to
from
see what's going on
finish.
With this thing.
A masterpiece.
It's so good.
It's the like they have like two twists that are most predictable twists
They're
of all
time. They're not predictable.
They
I disagree.
Are absolutely
They're
predictable.
Not. They're not.
I did. I watched it.
Oh,
with
I know. You always
Patricia.
Predict all the twists.
No, not all of them. No, just the bad ones. And those were bad.
I don't try to predict things in movies. I try
neither
to
do
just
I. It's
it.
Just sometimes it's too obvious.
All right.
So, yeah. Godzilla wins, and then Arnold and DeVito present Best Film Editing, and the Oscar goes to Oppenheimer.
Nice.
And the editor walks up and says, I love the movie, or she's like, I love the movie Twins. And Arnold's like, what about Junior, bitch?
No.
Come on, it was good too.
That'd be great.
Then Kimmel has a little bit with his Baba Booey ripoff, who just wanted to get drunk. So it's just like, you know, Jimmy Kimmel Live at this point. And he's like, oh, I love my wife, Charlize Theron. And yeah, because everyone wishes. Then we have America Ferrara.
Everyone.
And Kate McKinnon present Best Documentary Short and Feature. And Kate thought the Jurassic Park movies were documentaries. And everyone laughed.
Get
right?
It. Yeah. Get it.
She's like, but Jeff Goldblum's real, right? And she's like, no. Oh, then where have I been setting my tasteful nudes? And then Steven Spielberg points to himself.
And then goes like this.
Ooh.
It's like, oh, that's anti-woman, Steven.
I guess.
I mean, Kate McKinnon's a lot younger than you. Come on,
right.
buddy.
So the Oscar goes to, who cares? Next up, we have Zendaya present Best Cinematography. And she was like one of the few people that walked up by themselves.
I know. She's huge.
And the Oscar goes to Hoyt Van Hoytima or something like that. But obviously for Oppenheimer.
Yeah.
And he gets up there and he tells everyone, you know, shoot on film instead of digital. Basically. Because that's Nolan's thing. But sure. Yeah. And then two actors I don't know present Best Live Action Short. And Wes Anderson won, but he wasn't there. So they accepted for him. Who cares? Then Kimmel walks out in a new suit. And he says he's doing this so they can't edit him out of the show. Even though it's live. And no one rewatches.
And no one ever rewatches
this shit. And why would changing your suit like make you unedit? Like,
yeah.
How would that help you from being edited
out of the
show?
At least one thing he got right is if they were to edit it, they would edit him out of this show and everything that he said. Right. He got that right.
So then John Mulaney presents the achievement for sound. And it was like he was just doing stand-up for a few minutes, which was great.
It's pretty great, yeah.
He's like, for years, movies didn't have sound. But then they figured it out.
So good.
And without sound, we wouldn't, we've never would have had we're going to need a bigger boat, Welcome to Earth. Or he was in the Amazon with my mom while she was researching spiders right before she dies.
Yeah. It's like, what's the scene from The Simpsons where it's like, he's already dead.
Yes, right. But I loved it. I thought that was funny.
Yeah.
And then he just goes on to explain the entire plot of Field of Dreams.
It was pretty great. He spent like 90 seconds on this. It was awesome.
It reminded me of when he, talked about Back to the Future.
Yeah.
Which
that was
good. And the Oscar goes to Zone of Interest, sorry. even though the clip they showed was a flower with no sound. Best sound, the movie with no sound.
It's awesome.
It was a flower. And I think you heard that. Like, that was it. It was like, wow, crickets. How did they do crickets? I have a soundboard right here. That's how they did it.
That's so Hollywood.
Hey,
though, right?
I win. Best sound goes to me.
Best sound goes to no one. Look, this seems so easy.
Like, Oppenheimer was nominated.
There's people like us out here that love movies and want to watch the Oscars, and this is the shit we have to see. It seems so easy to fix.
Yeah.
All you have to do is you have for best cinematography, best director, whatever, have best dramatic cinematography, have best dramatic director, so you can have all of these movies nobody's heard of.
That's the Globes thing.
In those.
That's the Globes. The Globes do that.
They separate
right.
it out from
drama. And that's why you do it here, because no one gives a shit about the Oscars.
Yeah.
Because it's movies no one's seen or heard of.
Well, it's just like, what are the chances Zone of Interest actually has great sound, but the clip they showed was a flower and crickets? Like, that's it. Wow, that's great.
Could you hear the crickets?
No?
Oh,
no.
Well, then
no.
That's
not
what
really.
Shit they sound. I'm not sure why we chose it.
Yeah. So next up, Ryan Gosling sings his I'm Just Ken song from Barbie. There were other musical performances, but they weren't really, like this.
Memorable, yeah.
And then it was like, oh, hey, look, it's Slash.
And Wolfgang Van Halen, Eddie Van Halen's son.
Yeah.
God damn it.
I mean, we know Slash will do anything.
Yeah. Right.
Oh, anything. You'll do anything.
Slash doesn't give a shit anymore.
Then Kimmel takes Gosling's Ken pants to jerk off at home, I guess, later.
I don't know what he's doing, yeah.
That's basically what he said. Then we have... Ariana Grande and I don't even know who the other one was.
They're in Wicked together.
Okay. They presented Best Original Score, and Ariana Grande gets Worst Dressed.
It was a weird looking.
I don't even know.
Yeah.
It was this gigantic poofy dress. It looks so stupid.
Very poofy.
God, you know what it looked like she was wearing? Have you seen those deals where you can get in one of these giant inflatable balls and like roll down a hill?
Right.
It looked like one of those.
That's exactly what it was.
So the Oscar goes to Oppenheimer. Then Billie Eilish and her brother won Best Song, and she looks like a zombie, maybe on purpose. I don't know. Her contacts were weird.
White. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought they were a couple, and then they were like, no, they're actually brother and sister. I was like, oh, okay, that makes it worse.
Yeah.
Makes it worse. Next up, we have the In Memoriam, all the people in Hollywood who have died. With the Boats and Hoes song. That's crazy.
Yeah.
The part at the end
it's
of
a
Step
weird
Brothers.
Choice.
I don't, what's that song? Do you know the name of that song?
I think it's called Con Te Partiro.
Yeah, you know. Oh, like that, the song that Will Ferrell sings, the opera song at the end, but
in
then
Step Brothers,
boats
yeah.
and hoes in the middle of it.
Right.
So we get reminded of some, you know, famous actors and actresses and singers like Alan Arkin, Tom Wilkinson, Andre Brauer. I don't know how to pronounce
Brower.
Brower, right.
Yeah.
But Tom Wilkinson from, I mean, Batman Begins, really, right. for me. But yeah.
Right.
Paul Rubens.
R.I.P.
Pee Wee Herman. Ryan O'Neill, Matthew Perry, Richard Lewis. Carl Weathers, a lot of these just very recent.
R.I.P. Yeah. Apollo.
And also yeah. Tina Turner.
Yep.
So, quick little sidebar. Speaking of Carl Weathers, me and my wife just watched Rocky 1 through 6 in the past week.
Oh, yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Why?
Because we wanted to.
Which ones have you, I mean, you'd seen them all or no?
No, not really. I saw clips. I never saw them like from start to finish. I never saw all of them. All the way through, so
yeah.
we both like boxing, so we just decided to watch them 1 through 6, and it was awesome. Except for 5, which
I felt nothing,
and it was complete garbage.
Right, yeah. Garbage. So 6 is what, Rocky Balboa?
Yeah.
Rocky Balboa. Yeah. Joe, best Rocky movie, go.
Rocky 3.
Of course it is.
It's not even close.
Of course it is. It's not even close.
No, after watching them all, it's Rocky 3.
So if I'm in a group of people that I'm trying to earn their respect, and they ask me, what's my favorite movie, I say,
yeah,
A Few Good Men.
A Few Good Men, yeah.
What's my real favorite movie for sure, not hands down, of all time? Rocky 3.
Rocky 3.
Because
it's a good answer.
First of all, it's the only Rocky movie that shows like the fights in their entirety. Every second of the fights.
Right. Because they're only like a few rounds
each.
Yeah.
Every other movie, like, you know, that you see like a montage.
Because every other movie goes to 15 rounds. That's the only movie where they only went to round 2 and 3.
Right. You also have not one, but two climactic fights.
Yes.
And an Apollo Creed face turn.
Right.
Amazing.
A face turn. Rocky's down and out. He's got to learn how to fight a different style if he's going to beat this guy. I mean, the whole thing is...
And he also fights Hulk Hogan.
Yes.
Hulk Hogan's in there too.
Thunderlips.
As in, oh, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh, and then the way he wins the fight, and it's like he kind of uses his own strategy. Oh.
I'm so happy you said that, because so many people say 4 because of Drago, but it's 3.
No, it's 3.
Three has the most fights. I mean, that's what you want to see.
Yeah.
So I have my like top 5 like best Rocky moments from all the movies.
Mm.
Okay, so hold on, I have to remember these real quick. I didn't write them down. All right, I'll just start at 1, okay? Okay. Number 1 is when he beats Apollo Creed at the end of 2. Yo, Adrian, I did it, right?
That's great.
Okay, I'll tell you what my number 1 moment is then when you're done. Go.
Number 2 is There Is No Tomorrow, when Creed's telling him, like, you know, tomorrow, we'll do it tomorrow. There is no tomorrow.
Oh, very man.
Good. Yes.
Number 3 is, maybe when
he beats Clubber.
When he beats, yeah, that's good too. Also when Adrian says, you can't win in Rocky 4.
Oh my God.
Because it's the first time she really doubts him.
Right.
Right.
And then the end of Rocky 1 where he's screaming for Adrian too, you know what I mean? Like those are some of the best moments.
So for me, there's the best moment in all of Rocky is in Rocky 2. Mm-hmm. His wife goes in a coma. He's not training.
Yeah.
Oh,
he's not training. And the whole time before the coma, she's like, please don't do this. You almost died in the first fight.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't give a fuck about all that.
Yes.
Just don't do it. So I'm already getting goosebumps. She wakes up. Yeah. He's like, you know, I'm thinking maybe I won't mix up with Creed if you don't want me to do it. And she goes, look, it's so emotional. She goes, I just need to do one thing for me.
Yeah.
Come here. One thing.
Win.
And then Mickey goes,
I knew.
What are we waiting for?
Let's get the fuck out of here.
I knew you were going there. So
win. And then he smiles and he's like, well, this, I gotta beat the fuck out of this guy.
That's
my wife, who's literally my everything in these movies, just told me I can go fight him and win.
She's like, great.
I just need to do one thing for me.
I think, that's gotta be the number one right
there. It's funny, you think these are just like silly boxing movies, but you're crying at the end of all of them.
Except for five.
I felt nothing.
Except
I was like, what
five.
A piece. By the way, okay, I'm sure you've realized this
because
you've watched these movies, you know, but Rocky 3 ends.
Yeah.
His son's 8 years old. Then Rocky IV is literally 2 days after Rocky III, and his son is 14 years old.
Yes.
His son aged 6 years in 2 days.
That looks completely different.
How did no one figure out that they fucked this up?
No problems.
I think Stallone was just like, I want to put my real son in the movie, so fuck it, he's 14 now.
And the biggest problem with five is like, dude, like you had the...
Four and five.
You had the brain damage, right? And that's why you shouldn't fight. And then he's getting hit anyway.
Yeah.
Dude, you might as well beat the shit out of this guy in the ring and win the fucking title again.
Right. Yeah, you're taking bare knuckle shots.
Yeah. Like you would kill Tommy in the ring. Yeah. Destroy him. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh. It's all right. I just had to bring that up.
Great Rocky tangent.
Yeah.
Because I know Joe would be happy that I watched all of them.
That's
from
amazing.
Start to finish.
It's amazing.
Like, within a week, we were just like, all right, next one.
Yeah.
I think we're going to watch the Creeds now. Because I've only seen the first Creed.
Yeah.
I still need to see Creed 2.
I haven't seen 3.
Yeah. All right, next up, Jimmy Kimmel says, oh, we have NSYNC here to announce Best Actor. But it's Forest Whitaker, it's Ben Kingsley, Brendan Fraser, Matthew McConaughey, and...
And...
All right,
Nicolas
all right.
Nicolas Cage.
Yes.
I'm Nicolas Cage.
Hey. I'm my boy.
I'm wearing my all right.
You know, teen depression has been really bad lately.
That was the PSA I used to play on the radio.
Oh, right.
All the time.
Yeah.
So Nicolas Cage... praises Paul Giamatti for wearing a contact lens that made him blind during filming. And he's like, would I have done that? Hell yes, but Paul did. So bravo.
From Face Off.
Oh, great.
That's amazing.
So, of course, the Oscar goes to Cillian Murphy.
Yes.
Yeah. Cillian was all class with his speech. And he ended it by saying, you know, for better or for worse, we're all living in Oppenheimer's world. So to all the peacemakers, thank you.
Right.
So that was cool.
That's true.
Very nice.
Next up, Steven Spielberg presents Best Director. And of course, the Oscar goes to Christopher fucking Nolan.
And how great is it that Nolan getting his first Best Director from Spielberg?
From Spielberg. Who?
Awesome.
You could even say, like, Nolan is the modern day Spielberg.
Sure. Yes.
So this story came out that, you know, the day before yesterday, anyone that's going to present shows up to the theater and they do a full run through.
Yeah.
And every time you have to announce, they go, just pick a name.
Right.
And just say the name so we can like zoom, like teach us how to, you know, zoom
practice.
In on you and like follow. We have like stand-ins in the crowd and stuff. And they're like, all right, just say Nolan. Because they'll tell them usually who to say. And Spielberg wouldn't do it. He's like, I'm not jinxing him. Because no one truly knows except, you know, the...
Yeah.
Whatever, the accounting firm or whatever.
Right.
So he's like, I'm not jinxing my friend.
It's funny, Tarantino told a story of when he met Spielberg after Pulp Fiction, and Pulp Fiction was nominated for Best Film, but so was Forrest Gump. And I think it was like he was playing golf with all them or something, and Tarantino said that Spielberg told him, like, look, you're not going to win Best Film. That's going to Forrest Gump. Like, you know, they're getting that.
Right.
But, you know, I think you'll get it. Not you'll win Best Screenplay. And then that's exactly what happened.
Well, yeah, I can. Yeah, of course. He knows all that. I think most of them know all that.
Yeah.
But that was Spielberg's producing team that did Gump, right? Because it was a Zemeckis. Zemeckis directed it.
Oh, right.
Pretty sure it was DreamWorks or whatever he was before DreamWorks.
Yeah. So Nolan gets up there. He says, it's about fucking time. Who all saw The Dark Knight? Everyone here? Yeah? Any of you guys see Slumdog Millionaire? Oh, you're all saying, what's that? Yeah, that's what won that year. Instead of Dark Knight, which wasn't even nominated. That's what he should have said.
Yes.
But of course, he goes, thank you to my wife, the producer of all my films, and all my children.
Mm. Good line.
And then he points out that movies, he's like, you know, movies are only 100 years old. We've come a long way, and we have, you know, even longer to go.
Yeah, that was a good line. He was like, imagine being 100 years into
painting
or music.
I was like, holy crap.
What a great point. Yep. Yeah.
And then they play the Pirates of the Caribbean music.
For no reason at all.
Like, not Dark Knight. I mean, fucking Interstellar.
Anything.
Inception. They all have Hans Zimmer music. Even the Oppenheimer music would have been fine.
Anything. Right.
You have like a plethora of Hans Zimmer scores and you play Pirates of the Caribbean. I thought Johnny Depp was coming out next. I thought that's why they did it.
Right.
Yeah.
So next up, we have Sally Field, Michelle Yeoh, Jennifer Lawrence, Charlize Theron, and Jessica Lange presenting Best Actress. And the Oscar goes to Emma Stone for getting railed for 2 hours.
Good for her.
As Joe showed us while we were watching the movie.
Yeah, again, you have a pretty actress and she kind of gets ugly and shows her body. Yeah. She's going to win the Oscar.
I've always liked Emma Stone.
Oh, yeah, of course. Me too. Yeah. Me so too. She gets up there. She says, "My dress is broken. I think it happened during I'm Just Ken."
Right.
And then, of course, you know, she has the waterworks. She cries a lot.
She's overwhelmed.
She was a mess. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, she's already won, so...
She seems, like, legit surprised.
She's won before, I mean. She won for La La Land.
She won Best Actress?
I think they said, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Like, this was her second win.
Damn.
And then she goes, "Oh, I share this award with all of you. But really, it's mine, it's not yours, and it's mine, I'm taking it home, and it's not yours."
Yes.
Next up, Kimmel
her
says...
Her speech was the best speech, though. I mean, I thought it was really sincere, and I don't know.
It did seem that way, yeah.
Yeah. So oh, then, by the way, the quote about, like... Her daughter being like my whole world in the sky. It's like a Taylor Swift song.
Oh, okay.
Okay. I was like, blah. Tay Tay.
So then Kimmel says, "Oh, we have an extra minute." And he reads a bad review of his hosting performance from Donald Trump. And at first we're like, all right.
Yeah.
It is Donald Trump. This could be real. So I looked it up. And on truthsocial.com, Donald Trump posted, "Has there ever been a worse host than Jimmy Kimmel at the Oscars?"
This is amazing.
"His opening was that of a less than average person trying too hard to be something which he's not and never can be. Get rid of Kimmel and perhaps replace him with another washed up but cheap ABC talent, George Slopinopoulos."
Slopinopoulos.
"He would make everybody on stage look bigger, stronger, and more glamorous. Also, a really bad politically correct show tonight. And for years, disjointed, boring, and very unfair. Why don't they just give the Oscars to those that deserve them? Maybe that way their audience and TV ratings will come back from the depths. Make America great again."
Oh, that's so great.
At some point, you just have to lean into we're living idiocracy and just love it.
We're close. We're so close.
We're almost there.
Kimmel said something like, "Isn't it past your jail time or something?" Which was funny. That was good.
It's pretty good.
Yeah. So that actually happened. Then finally, to present Best Film.
Oh, boy.
The last award of the night.
Oh, boy.
Oof.
They thawed out Al Pacino.
Oh, that's not nice.
Poor Al.
How could that? As soon as he walked out, I said, how could they trust him to do this?
And they've already fucked it up.
He's like, "Oh, we got best film. Oh, I need a couple of sheets of paper." He's like, "Hey, we got best film here. Let me see what we got. These were great films, I'm told. I didn't see any of them."
Not even trying to read off cards. He's just winging the whole fucking thing.
"I see Oppenheimer. Yeah?"
No, he goes,
"Yeah.
My eyes see Oppenheimer.
Yeah.
And yeah."
"Wait, hold on. I'm getting best actor. We already did it. No, I got best Al Pacino.
Bobby Paterno
in that HBO movie where I played Al Pacino as Bobby Paterno."
How do you let him blow the pop moment of announcing this movie?
It was like La La Land a few years ago. They got the wrong best Any Given Sunday. Best picture. Best film. It's Any Game of Inches. All right, Pacino, thanks.
It's not Al anymore. Cappuccino?
Hoo-ah!
Jesus.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, it's fucking Oppenheimer, obviously.
Fun fact.
The betting odds were like minus 6,000.
How many times has Al Pacino been married?
Oh, Jesus
Christ. Does he have like Ric Flair numbers? It's worse. Oh, zero.
Never been married.
Really? Huh.
Al Pacino, yeah.
Wow.
That makes sense, actually, when you think about it.
You want half my shit? Fuck off!
You want half my shit, you hooah?
Welcome to Jurassic Park, you dumb fuck.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Oh.
So Emma Thomas thanks her brilliant husband, of course. And I don't know who the other guy was. He looks like fucking Oppenheimer. He was Oppenheimer.
82 years old. Sorry. Yeah.
And then Kimmel says, if only Nolan could text his family to tell him the good news. Well, they're probably watching the show.
But are they in England where it's like 6 hours later and they're asleep?
Well, but then why even text them?
Yeah, true.
But yeah. So then they show the dog from earlier because they cut to a dog because Robert Downey Jr. was in a movie where he pretended to be a dog.
Right.
Which that joke didn't work earlier, but then we looked up on stage, you know, Florence Pugh was up there, all the actors.
Yeah.
You know, even the lesser ones like Josh Hartnett. Yeah. But no Matt Damon. And then we see the dog from earlier peeing on Matt Damon's Hollywood star.
Yeah, I mean, show. I'm sure, I mean, again, with Kimmel there and like all this, I'm sure he would have been there. Although, I didn't see Ben Affleck or J-Lo in the crowd.
It's an old running gag, but it's...
I mean, it's like 20 years old.
So this is 2 years in a row that the good guys cleaned up at the Oscars.
I know, right?
Like, yeah. The right movie just swept
last
so
year,
many.
Everything, Everywhere at Once. I was super happy. Won the most Oscars ever.
Yes.
And Oppenheimer won, like, you know, what was it, seven or, like, at least on the main show.
Most they of the won main ones that counted, yes.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Ariana Maddox. You probably know me from TV, or maybe you read my best-selling book and tried one of my amazing cocktails, or maybe you saw me on Broadway. What I can say is following dreams is kind of my thing, but of all the things I'm lucky enough to get to do, the thing that I get asked about the most are my shoes. What's my secret? DSW. DSW is the best place to get all the shoes you need from brands you love. Trust me, I'm obsessed. In fact, I love DSW so much, I've teamed up with them to create a collection of shoes from must-have sandals to super cool sneakers that are guaranteed to get compliments. Because if I've learned anything, it's that if you've got big dreams to follow, you're gonna need some really great shoes. Find the shoes of your dreams when you shop my new collection now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Whether you're making the same breakfast that you have every day or baking a cake for an extra special day, eggs are a staple in our diets. Eggland's Best eggs are nutritionally superior to ordinary eggs, containing more vitamins and 25% less saturated fat. Not only are they better for you, but Eggland's Best eggs taste better too. There's a reason that they're America's number one eggs. Visit egglandsbest.com for additional information and delicious recipes.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
So, all right, that is all for the ratings, guy. You want to rate the Oscars? Nah, there's no.
No, let's not do that.
Sorry, we have fan questions. Andy Piccone says, please do the wrestling award categories for the show. I mean, I already said worst dressed was Ariana Grande.
Yeah.
Who looked the best?
Who looked the best?
Yeah.
Charlize Theron.
Charlize looked... Oh, Zendaya looked good.
Oh, Zendaya.
She did,
I'm
going to
go
yeah.
Zendaya.
Probably Zendaya.
Yes. She looked amazing.
Best acting, Robert Downey Jr. Or John Cena as the naked stripper.
I would say John Cena.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Worst acting? Jeez.
I'm gonna
maybe
go
the,
with,
the woman that won the best supporting.
And the nominees are Jimmy Kimmel.
I'm going to go with...
Al Pacino?
Worst.
Oh, that's it.
Octavia Spencer and Melissa McCarthy.
That's it. That was
Who's on First thing.
God, that was bad.
You're saying worst actor?
Yeah.
It's not Kimmel?
That's a good point. Well, at least he had a couple lines, but
fair.
Omar, meow meow. Oppenheimer invented the bomb that was dropped on both Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Oh, he says Josh without getting canceled spelled Nagasaki. Yeah, I mean obviously that wasn't gonna work, but Josh is not.
That's a tough one for anybody.
Never gonna happen
here tonight. Steven with a V, guys. We all know Disney Marvel shows suck with some exceptions. If you can indulge me, I have an amazing idea for a Disney/Marvel show.
Okay.
Mockumentary style, and that the show would center around the aftermath of Tony Stark snapping the 3.5 billion people back to life on Earth. Can you imagine the drain on resources that would cause? Food, transportation, waste, not to mention relationships, or the fact that people get snapped back to the position they were originally left. Imagine a guy who is mid-sex getting snapped back in the same bed alone with an erection mid-cum.
I was just going to say, how many people were mid-fucking and got snapped out and then come back mid-fucking?
Or someone else in the middle of jerking off in the shower. What if someone was in the shower when they were snapped back?
No, it would definitely be
weird.
Or
someone who was in the middle of taking a shit. There just happens to be someone on that same toilet.
Oh no.
Did Tony really rethink the consequences?
Well, it wasn't Tony, it was the Hulk, but I think they're just confused, but yeah.
No,
that's true.
Just,
is that like Star Trek rules with beaming where like if they get snapped back and someone's right in that same spot, do they
become
just
one, they morph.
Become one and just
So Kevin Feige, there's kind of
by the way, this Kevin is a Feige. Really interesting idea. Like, just doing a small thing.
Well, they
thing.
Did some of that in the movies, like in Black Widow.
Touches, yeah.
Hawkeye, they showed, Florence Pugh come back and forth. They did that in a couple shows.
Yes.
Spider-Man. They showed the kids on the...
Yeah, like the band comes back on and they're playing basketball and they get knocked over. But they asked Kevin Feige about this. They were like, what about people who were in planes? Like, did they just zap back and then just fall to their death? And he was like, no, you could just assume that Hulk said, let them return safely.
No, but they did say that. They actually said that in the movie. To bring everyone home safe. So you would assume when he snaps, bring everyone back safe. So they're not, falling from the sky.
But then in Spider-Man, they went not so safe.
Well,
they got run over by the basketball team. Yeah.
Right.
But sure, you can
not
see.
Not as safe. Yeah.
Right.
That would have been crazy. Yeah.
I mean, the Falcon and Winter Soldier show tried their best to touch on this. It was just a bad show.
Yeah.
You had the group of terrorists that were like, they were for the Thanos snap. Like, they were against bringing everyone back because they were kicked out of homes and shit.
Right.
That's a good point, assuming, like, he meant bring everyone back home safe.
Yeah.
Because there's this Simon Pegg movie where he basically gets the powers of God and he tries to do good things, but he keeps fucking it up. Like, that way he'll be like, let there be no reason for war. And then like everyone just goes to war for no reason. Like just shit like that.
Right.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Joey Cage. Do you think Jimmy Kimmel brings up the Epstein flight logs list?
Oh boy.
Chris Berg, when are you going to review the greatest documentary out there? Idiocracy.
Right.
Who could do
too,
it?
Too real.
PCJ, there have been a lot of nominated films and actors that lost at the Oscars, but what are some that were never nominated to begin with that should have been? For example, Joe Pesci in My Cousin Vinny or Alan Rickman in Die Hard.
Oh, shit.
I mean, I already brought up
The Joker,
Dark Knight.
Jack Nicholson. He wasn't. Yeah. But Al Pacino was nominated in Dick Tracy in such a horrible role.
That was such a stupid movie.
Oh my
God. This is my whole argument. Like, just make a bunch of dramatic categories so you can put all of those movies that no one's ever heard of, The Piano and shit like that.
Yeah.
And then have like a popular category so we can see shit that we know and have seen win.
Carlos Ramirez, I finally saw Barbie today. Awful, weird movie. Who would win in a fight? Cillian Murphy, Scarecrow? Or Margot Robbie, Harley Quinn. It's Harley Quinn.
Probably
she would just
Harley
blow him
Quinn.
Up.
Yeah, right.
Amraj, none of these actors have ever won an Oscar. Each you get to pick one to give an Oscar to. And for what performance? We have Alan Rickman, Tom Cruise, Johnny Depp, Ed Norton, Tom Hardy.
Those are all... Wow.
Wow, that's tough.
I mean, Cruise will get a lifetime one, I'm sure, at some point.
Yeah,
I think I'd go Cruise. Like, Born on the 4th of July, he was supposed to win, and then he was kind of snubbed that year, I think. I forgot who won instead of
him. I mean, Johnny Depp has...
He's great.
Had a lot of great roles. I love Tom Hardy as well.
I feel like Tom Hardy will get one.
Maybe.
I feel like he'll get
one. Tom Hardy should. Ed Norton has done too many.
Yeah.
Like, how does he not have
one? What was the courtroom where he got famous for? I mean, he should have won
for that. Oh, right.
So good.
I forgot the name.
Yeah.
Was he nominated for American History X? He had to have been nominated for that.
He had to have won.
He should have won for American History X. Joe, are you talking about the one where he was like pretending that he was innocent and then at the end, like there was a swerve?
Primal Fear.
Yes.
Yeah.
He was great in that.
As a supporting actor.
For sure he should have won American History X though.
Yeah, he was nominated for lead actor in that, supporting in Birdman. That was great.
Oh, yes.
Supporting in Primal Fear, he was nominated for an Oscar.
Alan Rickman should have gotten supporting actor for Die Hard.
How did he not get nominated for American History X? That was like his
He was, I said.
Oh, he was.
Yeah, best leading actor, American History X.
Okay. Harpoon finger fuck, Will Smith smacking Chris Rock, real or staged? It's funny, at the time, the first thought was that it was staged because how could this ever happen at the Oscars? But no, I think it was real. I think Will Smith just lost his fucking mind.
Yeah,
in that moment.
He's just so horribly cucked. He's lost his mind.
Especially if you're Chris Rock, why would you stage that? It's like one of the most humiliating moments ever. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, you don't poke a guy like that. He's been through enough.
Yeah. Joseph Reiling, I only voted yes to hear your reactions very much. Oh, that was just like, I was asking them, hey, would you guys want us to review the Oscars? And most of you said yes. So let us know what you thought of this. If you liked it, we could, you know, possibly do it again next time. But let us know. Until then, make sure you subscribe to our podcast. Follow the show on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok at Hollywood Hog Pod. Become a supporter of the show at patreon.com/Hollywood Hogwash.
And guess what show we get to do this week on Thursday?
Yep. Invincible.
Yes.
We'll see you over there.
Nice.
Whether you're making the same breakfast that you have every day or baking a cake for an extra special day, eggs are a staple in our diets. Eggland's Best eggs are nutritionally superior to ordinary eggs, containing more vitamins and 25% less saturated fat. Not only are they better for you, but Eggland's Best eggs taste better too. There's a reason that they're America's number one eggs. Visit egglandsbest.com for additional information and delicious recipes.
Wayfair's biggest sale of the year is back. Get ready for Wayday. For 3 days only, May 4th through May 6th, you can get up to 80% off at Wayfair. Save on sofas and cookware, dining sets and rugs and beds, wall art, bar carts, floor lamps, ceiling fans, home decor, all things outdoor, and way more. Plus, everything ships free. Don't miss the sale to get up to 80% off everything home, even a garden gnome. Wayday starts May 4th. Head to Wayfair.com now to start filling your cart.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils, you'll want to invite everyone over, from book club to the fantasy league, even the in-laws.
It smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils are infused with 2 times more natural essential oils versus regular Airwick scented oils for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Transform your space with scents like white sage and mahogany or lavender and water lily. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.